Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Rosebud. Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 534, Black Christmas. Yeah.
These are the darkest times.
The worst one.
Well, I've never seen any of them, so I can't say. But,
oh, it's the worst one.
But I can't imagine that there aren't better ones.
I may stop celebrating Christmas at this point.
The first one has Olivia Hussey and Margot Kidder.
Well, there you go.
Ta-da.
So who doesn't like a movie with starring hussies?
Because
she's never heard that joke
no,
before.
No, I'm sure she hasn't.
So let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And we have not one but two guests this week. We have joining us via the magic of Skype-a-phone is a longtime listener, Tammy Sherman-Powers. Hey, Tammy, how's it going?
It's going good.
First try, too. I mean, it's amazing that you called us and we started the recording. And...
so simple.
Yes. Oh, goodness.
She's like, I was a long-time listener.
Yeah.
Long-time suffering
listener. By long-time
listener,
she means today. Yeah. It's been a long time.
Well, actually, I might not listen anymore after you made me watch this movie.
Oh.
So we're not alone.
Thank God.
Actually, in their defense, Tammy, it was kind of me who made you watch it. I insisted that we had as diverse a representation of a variety of opinions on particular movie as possible. So if you must, you can cast your blame on me because
okay.
If you don't, you might lose all your followers. So it's like, so in order to not do that, you know, this well, at least half. I am so sorry for your pain. Next, if you're in Florida, I will buy you whatever drink will help to dull the searing memories of this schlock. Is even being
that's too nice.
Kind
yeah,
to
yeah.
So
that's
I,
way too nice.
I think he liked it.
Yeah. So, and that is Ryan. Ryan, what was the one he was on before?
You've been on two, haven't you? Right, we did. I thought it's been two.
We
now.
We did like a Halloween specialty episode.
It chapter two,
okay. And then the Halloween horror comedies.
Oh, okay, that and I left early.
Yes.
That's why I don't remember
yes.
that.
That's
so,
right.
So
that's right.
Are we? Is he just relegated to the horror ghetto? Is he not allowed
no,
to be on?
But, well, a lot of people on Twitter call him the horror professor. He's a professor of film,
okay.
at the University of Florida. Right, Ryan.
University of Tampa.
And so a lot of people online, though, think that he only watches horror movies. So he's kind of been relegated to this horror professor, Ryan Terry.
We should make him do a musical.
Sure.
Hey, we could do Stage Fright. Then it's both.
I tell you what, he's more than welcome to come back for Cats, so I don't have to do it.
Yeah, you know what? A horror musical, Cats.
Yeah.
That is horrific.
No, I think yeah. Tammy wanted to come back for Cats too. Is that right?
Oh, is that right?
Oh, no.
She was demanding it. She said, "Okay, I will only do Black Christmas if you let me review
the,
Cats."
The look on Tammy's face was priceless.
She's got her old lady sweater already picked out.
Well, yeah, I have four cats, but I have no desire to see that movie.
Do they?
You don't want to see the mocap suits that are probably going to still be in it because the scene is still unfinished.
Do your cats sing?
That's... Do they have weird human faces?
Yeah.
No.
Is one of them Judy Dench? Dame Dench.
Yes. My cat is actually Judy Dench. That's amazing.
That'd be all right.
No, but you know,
I think the thing that irritates me the most about that trailer, and there's a lot to choose from.
Oh, my God.
But the thing that irritates me the most is when the one cat says, "Does a cat got your tongue?" Because a cat wouldn't say that.
Yeah, a cat would be like, "Do I have your tongue?"
It'd be like if we were going, "Does a people have your tongue?" Like, right? Like, it's like, does it. They don't think of them.
I'm so sad that Idris Elba's in that movie.
Yeah. Does a person insult you?
Right.
Like, ah. So before we dig into the movie, quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. Be sure and subscribe while you're there so you never miss an episode. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And, of course, don't forget Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and you get to help us out, and we like you a little extra.
I just sometimes you're invited to see Black Christmas.
Yes, sorry. Sometimes we subject you. To...
I actually did just do an interview with comic book artist Bob Quinn, so it's in the can, it's done, so that'll be on the Patreon. He drew some Captain America, some Fantastic Four, the Lone Ranger, Red Sonja.
Well, there you go. Bob Quinn is in Joe's can, and
there
you
it
have
is.
That to look forward
yep.
to.
He's so, ready to go.
So there's all of that. Let's dig into Black Christmas,
holy
shall we?
Oh, my. Like, okay. So the 1976 version.
Four.
Is awesome. Like, it's just, I mean, it's very...
Is it just an actual horror movie?
So the premise of that movie is it's a sorority house full of girls, and there's a dude in the house killing them. Simple. That's okay. it. That's...
And it's POV, too. Way before Halloween gets a lot of credit for being the first, and I love Halloween, sure. So this is not making it any less than what it is.
Let's watch
but,
the tone
what
there,
I find
Ryan.
It's fascinating is Black Christmas and the original When a Stranger Calls actually pioneered two of the biggest tropes that we have now in Halloween, and yet Black Christmas doesn't get the credit for having that POV at the beginning. You know, most people think, you know, Halloween was the first to do it, or the first, you know, well-known horror film to do it. And Black Christmas actually started out that way. And then with the phone calls, it's like When a Stranger Calls, you know, did that first. And so I've tried to figure out why is it that Halloween gets, you know, all the credit for, you know, being the first in these two areas, which are largely part of horror, you know, except for maybe in more recent years. And then, you know, but yet Black Christmas and When a Stranger, like, they were the ones who did it first. And so
what year was Peeping Tom?
Peeping Tom was also 1916, but because it was released very close to Psycho, but it did not have the Hitchcock branding, and therefore didn't have the marketing budget that Psycho had. And it was also UK, much like I think Black Christmas was also UK.
Okay.
And so I think it's for those reasons why Psycho is considered the first modern horror film, because it did. They both came out in the same year, but it had a major name behind it as well as, you know, a larger marketing budget, and was a U.S. film versus a U.K. film.
Gotcha. So I had never seen this original Black Christmas. I didn't see the remake, which I heard was not good.
The remake is what it is.
The remake is great.
Okay.
Now,
it came out.
I mean,
it came out in that.
Watch this one. That remake is Oscar.
Is a mess.
It also it got swallowed up in that remake.
It seemed
explosion.
Like just another remake.
Yeah. So like they were just taking any horror franchise from the 70s they could.
Okay.
And
so
just remake it.
So obviously Ryan's seen both of them. Tammy, what are your experiences pre this movie with the franchise?
I have never heard of Black Christmas.
Okay,
before this.
So you're much like me, to where this is my first example of
That's
Black Christmas.
Such a shame.
Where, yeah, I know it's kind of tainted. I mean, Tom, have you seen?
I'd heard of it, but I'm just not a horror guy. So I'll if one rises kind of above the genre, I'll check it out. But for the most part, like it's
a very young. It's Margot Kidder pre Superman. It's Olivia Hussey pre. I guess it's post Romeo and Juliet, but. Pre Psycho 4,
but three out of five of us, this is our Black Christmas.
That sucks so much. That's like it's a shame because I feel like this would be a much more fun conversation if you had the hate for this movie that I have, so, given how much I like that first one.
So to be fair, I mean, going into this movie and when we discussed it and when Ryan talked about, you know, wanting to be a guest and doing this movie and everything, I'm thinking, okay, Black Christmas, it's a remake of a beloved horror film. It's Blumhouse. Like,
here, okay.
I don't really understand what happened.
This is what I think happened.
Okay.
It's not just Blumhouse. Okay. It's Universal. Okay. I don't think this was Black Christmas. I think this was something else.
This was Sorority Row Killers.
And they realized they had a turd, and maybe they brought, and they already had Blumhouse in their pocket with the Universal stuff, and they're like, can you do anything with this?
Instead of making $0,
he's like,
maybe.
I don't know, man, maybe throw Black Christmas on the front, like call it that, and maybe we'll get the nostalgia button.
So I looked up, and they shot this movie over 6 weeks, so I don't have any reason to think that there were reshoots. But having watched the movie,
right,
I have reason to think that there were, because that last 30 minutes...
It's a completely different movie.
...has nothing to do in tone or story.
Bonkers. That's what makes me think this Bonkers. Was not
yeah.
Black
well,
Christmas.
Well, and that's what's weird, too. Is I mean, so we'll get into the beginning of this movie, but like, so going back to my original statement, like I'm thinking this is a horror movie, sorority house, there's a killer on the loose, and these girls are going to kick ass and just like totally, you know, be strong female characters, which is very relevant in this day and age, and that's no problem. We saw Ready or Not.
Sure.
I mean, we've seen a lot of these movies where it's like, yeah, kick ass female leads. Awesome.
Don't talk to Elizabeth Banks about that.
And I mean, it's relevant and important now. Horror has long since been a pioneer.
Sure, absolutely.
In strong female characters. And so I want to say, why did this movie feel such a need to just hammer it and hammer it and hammer it and hammer it like horror's done the female character injustice when it way before straight dramas and comedies and like film noir, like way like, before any of these. It had strong female characters. The term "final girl" is derived from horror films, and so this isn't the genre that needs to be critiqued for that. If anything, it should be heralded for it because that's been that way for nearly a century.
But I don't. But I think a lot of people though feel like with horror movies, when it's okay, the final girl, but that also means that you went through. All the other girls. So, like, you kill all these other girls to get to your final girl. So there's one girl that gets crowned, and she gets to be tough, but the rest of them are kind of fodder that...
And the way...
Unless you're Carrie, then you get doused.
Right.
And I feel like in this, the way the trailers make it look is like, okay, we're not going to get a final girl. We're going to get a final four.
Right.
And they're not going to put up with the killer. They're going to turn this movie... That's the way this trailer
looks. But it's
looked.
Completely missed.
And the poster looks that way, too.
It does.
Like they're all looking like tough, like it's like Birds of Prey 2.
Yeah.
Even though Birds of Prey hasn't come out yet. Yeah. For the first hour of this movie, like, for
it's
all...
It's not a horror movie.
For all their speechifying,
yeah,
they're pretty milquetoast.
Like,
very much.
So that's the thing, and I was going to say, so the... I'm thinking this is going to be a horror movie, kick ass the whole time. We're trying to run from this killer. But like the first 45 minutes, hour of this movie, there's like no horror elements. It opens with one kill of like
clearly tacked on because they realized that if it wasn't for that, there isn't a murder for like 25 minutes.
Right. And so I'm watching this movie and it's just.
That first kill was good. I mean, because that's almost the perfect murder. I mean, Icicle. So I mean it's Christmassy, it harkens back to the original and so in the remake and so I like that ice pick kill at the beginning. I thought, wow, this is gonna be good. But I think after that
Right. Well, so here's so Bob Clark directed the first one. If you know Bob Clark, he did A Christmas Story. He has Porky's. So he has this affinity for comedy, and there's a lot of comedic beats in that first Black Christmas. And actually, I think if you go back to one of our Christmas episodes, I talked about the original way back when. So when he breaks off the icicle, and I was like, okay, it's an homage to Bob Clark, to what he was doing, because it is kind of ridiculous.
Because to me, that was supposed to be kind of funny.
Yes,
because
it's, right, it's supposed
like,
to be.
I took it as that, and I'm like, oh, that's the movie. It's going to be fun and a little campy and crazy kills and all this. But after that, you don't get it. And what a lot of this movie is, it's just very much like Me Too and female empowerment. And so I wanted to ask our final girl, Tammy here, you know, what I mean, how did you feel? Because you're coming at it maybe with a different perspective. And to us, I think we're going to interpret it differently, or maybe not. Like, how did you feel about this first 45 minutes?
Well, it's boring.
Yeah.
but
did you like the kill, though? The first kill?
Yeah, that was the only one. Right. But you don't really see any of the kills.
PG-13. I don't know. Yeah. Whose idea was that? PG-13 Black Christmas.
They knew nobody was going to see this crap movie is the problem. But so, Tammy, so after the first kill, which was fine, but then for, again, 30, 45 minutes, whatever it is, you don't really see any horror. The whole thing is, you know, creepy professor and a protesting female student and obviously the main character, Imogene Poots, she was drugged and assaulted at a frat party. I mean, the whole movie is just hammering home the men are terrible and blah, blah, blah. I mean, how did you feel as a woman watching this?
I cringed through almost the whole thing. It didn't seem, I don't know, like real. I don't know how to explain it. I just didn't like anything about the movie at all. And each character, they never made me really care about any of them.
Yeah.
You know, the Riley was too, you know, like, you know, mousy, you know, Chris is on the other extent. It was like they had one of each different.
Well,
kind
they
of
were
girl.
Like token characters. They were, I mean, it was just like, I'm the activist. I'm the,
well, each character was its own talking point.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that, and if they had picked one or two of those things, but that it was like every time somebody was opening their mouth, it was some sort of commentary on college rape culture.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and when you complain about that, it sounds like you're pro rape culture, which is not the case, but it was just nonstop and not well done. Like, it wasn't clever.
Right.
It was just, It was just lazy.
Here's the
writing.
Issue is I feel like in today's climate, a Me Too horror movie or any kind of movie is important, like, to get it out there.
I like the movie that they're trying to make.
The problem is they showed the Promising Young Woman trailer in front of it.
That looks awesome.
And I got to tell you, if you want a Me Too movie, that's the one you're going to go to, because that looks insanely good.
What about even The Invisible Man? Isn't that kind of an abusive
It is.
Partner?
Yeah, they're telling a story. Yeah.
Not believing the woman. Yeah, I mean,
I think the problem with this is that it's a heavy-handed cash grab approach that is really an irreverent treatment of the Me Too movement. And I, you know, find it to be offensive to the movement in and of itself, because how can anyone take that movement seriously when a movie like this just perpetuates this obnoxious caricature of it?
But here's the,
and it's not even treating it with the respect that it ought to be given.
And even worse, when this movie shifts gears at the end,
that's the problem.
It like really digs a hole for itself, because, you know, you find out that, like, these people have been possessed
or
mind controlled, essentially.
So you're saying that they're not responsible for their actions.
Now they're not responsible.
Yeah, that is a
for
huge...
all of the, like
when it got to that reveal, which, I mean, you saw that coming from a mile away, but when the reveal happens, and you know what, we're just going to do it now 20 minutes in, cuz I think we're going to do 60 minutes of suck.
Right.
Is that the bust that the activist girl,
which conveniently leaks black blood for PG-13 purposes?
Correct.
Yeah.
When it's removed from wherever, you know, the center of this universe, Calvin Coolidge University,
right,
whatever the hell it's called. I guess it's not Calvin Coolidge.
Hawthorne.
He is Hawthorne.
He is a president.
No,
I guess you can't.
No, it's not. Nathaniel.
It's not Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Charles.
Yeah. There you go.
It's Nathaniel's younger brother. That's what. when they remove the statue, they figure out that it leaks this goo, and that puts these pledges and I guess everybody in the fraternity under the possession of this guy.
But they were also already rapey to start with.
So now you're just double rapey.
So I don't even know.
But they're not rapey. They're killy.
But yeah, now they kill and rape.
So it's just, and they only go after the ones, the girls who are strong than like not subservient. But then they kill the subservient one.
But then try to make the other one join too, and it's like, did I just saw what you did to the one that
right?
Like, the movie is just, the writing is so bad.
It's really bad,
and most of it, I think, most of the problem comes from, aside from just the terrible writing of what they were trying to do that they didn't execute, is that it's not like all the stuff in a horror movie that you want isn't there.
Yeah,
like
no.
Who
you
thought
can, you can do? You can do a PG-13 horror.
Yeah,
it's possible.
We've seen plenty of good ones. But they're trying to. They're trying to push this agenda, and it is a relevant and important agenda of the day, but then they forgot they were making a horror movie.
Right.
And so they could have smartly crafted a script that would be for female empowerment and anti-abusive and crazy men.
I mean, Halloween did, like the new one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They could have done it right, but instead they just wrote this terrible caricature laden script with these ridiculous characters, and then like every single man you see is horrible, and I found myself feeling like that boyfriend at the end
when the one guy snaps and he has his comment about like, Jesus, this is all
we
you
not
talk
supposed,
about it
but were we and not I'm, supposed to agree with him?
It was hard not,
but do you know what I mean? Like, he's supposed to be like acting a fool because he's possessed or something because of that ringing noise, because I guess it's not just black blood, there's a ringing noise
alpha. I think it's once you've been indoctrinated into the frat, anytime that thing goes off, it clicks your alpha part.
So the black blood doesn't just control you?
No, I think once the ritual is completed,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
but so he was supposed to be acting like a dick, but then the things he was saying, it was like they were treating every man you saw was terrible.
But
every man they're interacting with is terrible.
Right,
terrible.
But they didn't crap.
Except for Landon.
But this is like when we watched Rambo and Joe's like, every Mexican is a criminal.
Right.
But you know what I mean? Like, they didn't show any counterbalance except for the boyfriend, and then he still like didn't.
But then they
have
turned the boyfriend
to,
anyway.
Yeah, so I don't know. It just.
Well, I thought that's where the movie was going to turn around, you know, in which he's, you know, where he's, you know, just before, you know, I guess it's shortly before his kill. And which, you know, he addresses the what's-her-face addresses, you're just trying to piss people off. And then shortly we get into his, you know, his speech. And I thought that's what was going to turn around, in which the one, you know, activist girl would realize, gee, maybe in an effort to do something good, I'm actually doing more harm and just alienating and pissing people off. And because I was perhaps mistreated by a guy or a couple of guys, every guy is now like that. And so, and in all fairness, I can just ridicule all of them, defame all of them, because they're all the same. And so I thought we were going to address that extreme when the boyfriend was, it's like, you know, not all guys are rapey. I'm not like that. But then it's like, so we started to go down to where I thought the movie was going to turn around, and then it's like, oh, well,
but he was kicked out. It was just dismissed. So, like that point was null and void. Because
yeah, I don't even know what you would call that one girl. Like the girl
well, that was a thing on Twitter, the not all men thing, is that because she references.
Well,
it.
She does, but I mean, even the girlfriend,
yeah,
kicks like as soon as he's like, hey, can you not, like, I'm sitting right here, can you not, like, you know, I'm your boyfriend, and all of a sudden she's like, out, you're out, we're broken up. It's like, what?
Yeah, like, so that was a quick turn.
So he's not allowed to have,
oh,
like, you're not allowed
to
have
a beer.
Oh, yeah.
He had a beer, remember?
And she's like, you don't drink beer.
Oh. But he had drank a beer and then acted like that.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking, going back to the statue thing, another thing that makes it really kind of bad writing.
Okay.
Is that.
Oh, please.
The reason that. All this starts is because they moved the statue, right?
Right. So it's this girl's fault.
Why do they move the statue?
Right.
If that feminist had just kept her mouth shut,
you're not wrong, though.
It's
in the movie.
Ultimately, that's what kicks everything off.
Right.
Is her having a voice.
But you know what I think?
It's hard to believe this movie is written by two women.
And directed by a woman.
Yeah.
That this is, well, and okay, so I have two parts to this, and I have a question for Tammy on part one here. Okay, so the movie starts off, and I feel like the movie, as we've said, it's hammering home all these things.
You mean like the opening scene? No, the after.
Okay. Past the cold open. That's fine. We've agreed. That's fine. We move forward from that.
Sure.
So when we're introduced to all the women at the sorority, like the first scene is like, have you seen my diva cup?
Oh,
and then you watch her put her diva cup in her pants.
The first scene is I bought you a vibrator.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Okay, so I bought you. Oh, yeah, I'm on the phone. I bought you a Christmas present, and you'll be able to take care of yourself. You don't need a man. Here's a vibrator. Then it's, have you seen my diva cup? And you see her put that in. Then you see the friend that's borrowed the dress and blah, blah, blah. You go through all this. Oh, I'm not going to wear that dress. Oh, you're supposed to look sexy. I mean, this movie was just like, hello, we are women. Hello, woman stuff. Women, like, how did you feel watching this? Were you like, oh, I can relate to this? Or were you like, this is garbage?
It's not how women, we don't have the, you know, the pillow fights in 90s. We don't shower together. And we would never put a diva cup in,
would you,
in front
would
of
you,
another
would
woman.
You put somebody else's diva cup in?
Well, it
well
was,
they're in. They come pre-packed.
It was wrapped. She unwrapped it.
Okay, I thought, yeah. Okay.
I actually, I don't know what a diva cup is.
Tammy, this one's on you, my friend.
It's for women's.
I don't have much experience with women, so I don't
understand why instead of a
okay. Like it captures the it, blood instead of absorbing it.
I feel
and, okay. I got it.
But I thought they.
I had no idea what it was. Like, what?
But I thought they were supposed to be reusable.
That's what I thought too. That's why when she tossed it to her, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, they're reusable for a while, but you can, you know, they're in a package of several. Yeah.
Got it.
Okay,
so that makes more sense.
You throw it away or whatever. They're not, like, long-term.
So
you
don't could have just grabbed another one out of the box.
Yeah, she opened it up.
It's not like a family heirloom that gets passed on. Now that I have gone through the change.
I've got great-grandma's diva cup.
Now that I have gone through the change, I gift to my daughter my diva cup.
But no. But it's good to know. I just wanted to know how, from a female perspective of the writing, because the dialogue was cringe-inducing, and here I am thinking, like, okay, I get you're setting this up. I'm here to watch this horror movie, but line after line after line, and it was just like...
I mean, normally, I'm a proponent of women giving each other vibrators. Like,
just look at my browsing history.
I mean, yes, I've been a staunch supporter of this issue for decades.
You're on record?
Yes, but I was just like, what are we talking about?
It's, when it was first released, the vibrator, too, quick history moment, the vibrator was invented in the late 1800s, early 1900s. I can't remember exactly when, but it was invented to cure hysteria. I'm doing air quotes for those of you who are listening. So that's where it came from, but they wouldn't call it a vibrator. They would call it like personal massager or something like that. But when it was released, it was the number one selling item in the Sears catalog.
Weird. I wonder why.
Shocking.
Yeah, literally.
Yes, literally. Well, if you don't.
Don't
use in the bathroom.
Okay, sure. So now this girl in the beginning, since we've already kind of gotten
Riley.
No. The one that I said we're not going back to. But that girl in the cold open, I guess I never realized the connection. Usually, when you see a cold open, there's like a straight connection. But I don't really remember them ever being like, Sarah went missing, and now we're all like kind of on
there
alert.
Isn't one at all.
Yeah, so
she's just part of the sorority.
Yeah, so
that was it.
Why? How did they never bring
she's
that?
Part of the... It's so weird. Okay. She's not even part of the main sorority that we're focused on. She's part of the sorority that we see later when the cop walks in and they're killing that guy.
Yeah, because it's like...
She's part of that sorority. So, like, it's
so
not
they
even...
So cold opened with not the main characters.
Not at all.
So when they show it, because this was jarring to me, and I don't know if you guys were confused too, but all of a sudden they cut from the main characters to this other sorority.
Completely different sorority.
And the cop, you think the cop is going to
their
place.
It's supposed
place.
To be one of those head fakes where you're like, oh, you think the cop's coming there to save them, but he's really going, it's a different call.
But it was edited so poorly that I'm like,
I was
what?
Like, where are we like, at now? I had this exact same reaction.
I'm just like, because I go, who's that girl with the dreadlocks?
Yeah.
I'm like, who?
So that was the girl in the beginning that the other girl was on the phone with.
Okay.
The girl that's murdered in the very beginning
was
on the phone with that girl with the dreads.
Gotcha. So it was just a really weird way to tie in because usually there's a little bit more of a like an obvious connect the dots.
This is what I'm saying is that I don't think this was a Black Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I do not think that they had any intention of this being called Black Christmas until Universal, like I said,
what do you got? What do you got, Blum?
Yeah, can you do something with this? And he's like, give me three foot rubs, two bomb pops, and we'll call it Black Christmas. And he was like, okay, we'll call it Black Christmas. By the way, I get the entire run of the Universal Monsters from now on. They're like, yes, sir, whatever you need, sir.
Oh.
But yeah, so, and there's really, unfortunately, there's not a lot to talk. We know that Riley had been attacked, and she's kind of shut down emotionally and personally.
But a real attack, not a possessed one.
No, yeah, right. Like, she's attacked by somebody in this frat.
So she was slipped a drug by someone at the bad guy fraternity, and she was sexually assaulted, and this was previous year, I would guess. And so this person has since, I guess, been expelled? Was he, or did he graduate?
No, he graduated. And
he graduated,
The alumni.
He's coming
back.
Got it,
okay.
Or alumnus, because that's singular.
Okay.
Who comes back. And that when she has to sing this song that they're doing.
Well, she wasn't going to sing the song.
Right, but when she has to sing the song, that's why she's so nervous about it, is because
he's there.
Yeah.
He's there to watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why I wasn't sure. Again, I don't know why. I just couldn't. And this amazing script, I don't know why I couldn't follow.
I liked the song.
Song was good. It was definitely a big old middle finger to those boys.
So were her girls gonna sing that same song?
Yeah.
She didn't change it. Like,
no, I think that was always the plan.
Okay, so they were singing that to support her.
They did this talent show specifically so they could Trojan horse it,
right,
and get in front of them and be like, "F you."
Okay, because at first I'm like, did she just call a lateral and improvise this attack?
It's an audible.
Yeah.
Oh,
not a lateral.
Oh, well,
laterals when you throw the ball
sideways. Even I know that.
Sports. But yes, thank you. Call an audible. So what happens is, because she's been assaulted, her sorority sisters have devised this plan, as Tom said, to make fun and of this fraternity where the guy was rapey, and they're all a bunch of douchebags, as we've seen. And so
all a bunch of dude bros.
One ends up getting drunk, and she's about to sleep. The same situation is about to happen to her sister.
They can't find this other girl, and Riley kind of barges in and stops an assault. Well, that's the thing, is like, you think this scene actually is really good. I think this scene is very well done, where you think this girl's going to be assaulted. Riley steps in and gets the guy out of the room, and she kind of she does that. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. So I thought this scene was really well done. The girl gets sick, and Riley kind of stays with her, and she's like, "I'm just going to get an Uber home."
And this scene actually really makes more sense now, because I'm like, why was the door open? I mean, good thing that he left the door open, but this was staged.
Right.
Now it makes more sense, because I'm just thinking, like, it was awfully convenient that Riley is stumbling around the fraternity house.
Right.
And
happens to stumble upon
in
the
on
one.
That.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is where Riley has to take her. Riley does not want to do it. Takes her spot, does the whole thing, meets up with the new boyfriend, and they decide to invite him to orphan dinner, which I guess is just a shot at Riley.
It's people that don't have families to go home during the holiday, so orphans.
Staying on campus after everybody else leaves
for their families. We're gonna double down on the fact that Riley's parents are dead?
No, it's just that's what it's always been called, but she really is an orphan,
They
didn't want to be offensive to her.
Got it. Okay, so in the original one, the dude is just in the house. So, like, he does call from inside the house, so you get, like, heavy breathing phone calls, and he starts picking these girls off.
But they never leave the house.
They never leave the
house.
The whole thing is it's in the house.
So this movie goes to, like, here's Professor McDouchebag.
I think you mean Professor McCary Ewells.
You bag. But now there's this whole side plot of, he didn't, as far as I understand the script, he never actually did anything, like, assault a female student or anything. He didn't teach books with female authors.
Like, basically he teaches like the true classics,
right,
making air quotes,
but they want him fired.
But basically they're saying, like, stop teaching nothing but old white
men.
Like,
they're
so,
like,
all he's
stop teaching, though. They want, she wants him fired.
Well, I guess because he put up a fight.
I
will say that, like, when you're on college campuses, that's their answer to everything. It's like, I don't like this thing, fire them.
Welcome to my world.
But in this movie where you're trying to say all men are douches and all this stuff, and the assault, rapey, guys.
The problem is he also does kind of target Riley in the middle of class. Like, it's he's given a lecture on something, and Riley's not paying attention. Not she's zoning out. And he directs a question right at her. She answers it. And then all of a sudden, he kind of, like, zeroes in on...
Well, because he's in the same fraternity as
her. He's an alum as well.
That got kicked out for the assault, so he clearly has that history there.
And he starts zeroing in. So that, like, that... Okay, so I'm like, well, okay, he's a bad guy.
Well, yeah, again, they paint all men to be terrible in this movie. But I just mean that he's supposed to be so douchey, but the only thing I saw was he just taught male.
Well, he did apologize. He said something to Chris about yelling at her in class.
Chris is the activist.
When she brought that up, yeah. When she brought that up,
yeah. There was something coming up about him like completely freaking out and yelling at her during class.
Okay, maybe.
So there might have been some kind of exchange there.
Oh, it was the first day of the semester, because she says that she looked through the syllabus and saw that there were no female authors represented, and then I think they got into a bit of a tiff, and so I think that's what it was referencing.
Okay, well, yeah, maybe there was something more then, because I was just like,
so here's the theater that we were in was almost completely empty. And
same here. Four people, including me, were in the auditorium.
There was a couple. So it was me and Brian and our buddy Ethan, and we had a couple at the very end, and then we had a couple almost directly in front of us, and then a couple like off to the side. And I swear to God, I think the couple in front of us took care of some business and and left. Like, they got up and left at about the... I mean, granted, the movie sucked, so it could have been the movie. But at the same time, I was like, huh, that was weird. They just, all right, see you later, I guess. That's the end of that couple.
I had a family with two young kids.
Did they do it with the popcorn bucket with the hole in the bottom, and then you reach into the popcorn bucket,
did you
and
check,
then it could be
Joe?
Just kind of low-key.
Make your own butter.
They were directly in. They were directly in front of us, and there was no bucket, and I couldn't see her head. So, you know,
but I had a family walk in like 10 minutes into this movie with a mother, a father and two young kids.
This isn't Jumanji.
I was just like, wait a minute. Yeah, it's opening weekend for Jumanji. And they walk into this movie and they sat down and watched this movie. Just thinking, what? Why? Why are you with this? Like, Jumanji just came out. I can't imagine. Maybe they had just seen it and they snuck into this one. I don't know.
But you know, we'll take the kids to go see Black Christmas.
It was a very odd choice, though. I just and I was like, okay, well, surely they're going to leave this in the first, like, 15, 20 minutes. No, they just stuck through it.
They just doubled down on
it.
Okay.
I had that happen when was it Lion King and Good Boys opened?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And
I was like, 1994?
I was at Good Boys, and, like, somebody walked in with a kid, and I was just like, oh no!
Did you tell them?
No, I'm not. Because what if they did it on purpose? Yeah. I don't want to deal with that.
Like, I got a fight on my hands.
I can barely raise my own kids.
So
they sing the song.
They all kind of go out after,
which was written by one of the ladies from Garfunkel and Oates.
Oh, they're funny.
The song was
Though
they're very funny.
Yeah,
yeah, I like them a lot.
Now,
were they trying to remake the scene from Mean Girls?
I thought the same thing.
I thought that same thing, Tammy. It was like, this is a total rip-off of Mean Girls, down to the costumes.
Yeah.
And so, I was thinking the same thing.
Yes. And yes, but I agree. Like, it's the costumes. It's the same. It may have been the same, like, dance moves. And
Tina Fey is, you know, on the phone with someone.
I use the term dance. Tina Fey's I don't care. You think this is going to affect Mean Girls?
I was glad when the song went the way it did, because as it started, I'm like, this is what they've been rehearsing?
And like the activist girl is okay with doing this song?
I know. And I was just like, why would she dress like this?
Right.
Like, everything about, you know. And then when I'm like, okay, now I get it.
Right. And there are parts of this movie I was like, yeah, I'm down. Like, this is good stuff. And
I don't know. There's very few.
For me, I think this might be the only good scene.
I thought the barging out of the rape scene was well handled. I thought this scene is good. I thought the opening scene was good. But it's a matter of, like, that happens in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And now you're just stuck for another hour and 15.
Well, Unless you're that couple,
then you're not.
so they end up, we find out the whole thing. The statue gets moved with the founder. It gets moved to the fraternity that the founder was a part of the fraternity.
Riley ends up seeing a ritual happen.
Yeah.
Which is all supposed to happen. Like, they want Riley to see
it.
But
clearly they're putting markings on the forehead. It looks like some kind of cult, satanic ritual. But so the statue gets moved, and we find out that Carrie Yule's professor was in the...
Can someone explain to me how you can found a college and then also have been in the fraternity?
Well, what if he created the fraternity?
But then he wouldn't have, he wouldn't have been in it.
Maybe they... So the way I took it as is that...
He's the founder. They're like, well, yeah.
I like college so much, I'm going to start one and then be a freshman and then become a player.
So I thought that he created the college and then...
Yeah, but why would he be in
but
college?
But they created the fraternity in honor of him and his views.
But why would he be in the fraternity?
They did?
Why would he be going to school if he founded...
Also, why does a fraternity still have pledges in December?
That's a good point.
Like,
that's true.
You should have acted on
that. That's done. That's done by now.
Like the Greek guy in me is coming out.
Yeah, right. Just totally.
But you should be.
It should be over.
You should be a member by now.
Rush week is done.
School is literally over.
All right, Zorba.
No days left.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was.
So we find out that now this is where it goes, delves into a supernatural element that the statue is oozing black blood that somehow is connected to the founder's spirit. And he's, you know, trying to mind control these people to put women in their place and stop them from taking over. And, you know, women need to be subservient to men and all that stuff. Now, tell me, for those of you that have seen the original movies, does this have anything to do with the original?
Absolutely not.
Not
at all.
It's just a killer.
Yeah,
it's not a satanic or
Did I tell you the story for what the rumor about Black Christmas 2?
No.
So the story goes.
Please don't say Kwanzaa.
I will not.
Okay.
Is that Carpenter went to Bob Clark and was like, "Hey, I really love Black Christmas. Did you have a plan for a sequel?" And Bob Clark's like, "No, I did not." And he's like, "Come on, like you had to have something." And Bob Clark was like, "All right, like." I kicked around the idea of they caught this guy, they put him in a mental asylum, he gets out, and he goes back to the house that he grew up in. Because that's the deal. It's like
Are you telling me? No.
That is the rumor. Is that
Black Christmas came out, and he gave them Black Christmas 2. No, but Black Christmas came out, Carpenter talked
to Bob Clark. It was like how much he loved
it. And he gave him the story for Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah, I heard
that same rumor.
The bare bones story of like the killer in the house goes back to, you know, gets out of a sane asylum, goes back to the house he grew up in, and then kills the people who are in the house.
Well, that's interesting. But so my point is though that this supernatural element though is completely original to this remake.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
So instead of making a straightforward horror movie and with a killer, a slasher type movie, and then they're already adding in all this. You know, all the agenda heavy-handedness to it. Then they throw in this supernatural thing where the founder is controlling the members, so it takes away the responsibility, like Tom said, for the men.
Yeah.
Not only does it take away the responsibility, it puts it back
on the women.
On the feminist who started the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right, because it was her fault, essentially.
She's the one that protested to get the statue removed.
But right. it's not like... Oh, look what you did. Like, she could have never known that. It's just...
Oh, no, I mean, she could not foresee that. But I'm just saying, the course of actions that happened was she protested the existence of this statue.
Yes.
It was moved, which led to rapey zombies.
Right.
Rapey stone zombies?
Sure.
Because they don't die right away. Like, they have to do some work to kill
them. Zombies don't die right away.
You take one shot to the head, Tom.
But as soon as... I don't know how you guys felt. I mean, I think I do. But as soon as they started introducing this supernatural element and Imogene Poots goes into the car with the...
Should I know who that is? Like, has she been in other stuff?
Oh, yeah. She was in... what was the last thing she was just in?
Black Christmas.
That might be the last thing she was in, but... Oh my gosh!
Might be the last.
I guess we have a computer. Tom will look it up. She was just in something fairly recently,
She was in 28 Weeks Later.
She's the sister.
She's, I guess, the little kid.
Yeah,
she would almost have to be just because that's
well, how the boys.
That's how time works,
right?
But
what else is on her recent?
Jimmy, All Is By My Side.
Oh, you're not an IMDb.
The Look of Love.
But anyway, when she talks to the activist, she's like. I think that they're possessed. I saw a ritual and they're being controlled. Now she starts introducing all this supernatural stuff, and she says it with a straight face because she's freaked out, but she immediately believes this. And then it just, the way they're talking about it seemed like no one batted an eyelash none. At it. It just
none.
It's the writing.
Well, no, the friend did. She's which like, friend? Oh, she's like the
girlfriend,
the
friend?
Super feminist one.
Okay,
yeah. She was
or
like
the dumb one.
She's like, it's a fraternity. Of course, you saw a ritual.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You know
well,
what I, mean?
Well I know that she says that and she doubts it. But what I mean though is that they're talking crazy talk.
Right.
She was
and
in
like,
green room. That's
oh, green room. She's that, the she's the girl. Yeah. She's the girl. Yeah.
She was also in Fright Night. She has a. Rich oh. history of substandard reboots.
Nah, Fright Night's not bad.
Yeah, that's
it was
Anton. All right.
It was better than
and
this.
And so's Green Room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Green Room is pretty good.
Yeah.
Green Room's
Green
really
Room's
good.
Great. Green Room is
yeah.
great. So
but yeah, so she goes.
I just thought when they introduced this, I was not expecting this in this movie, and it sounded ridiculous, and I'm just like,
it's
come
weird.
On.
So in a trailer, they there's a, there you're right, Tom. There's reshoots because there's in one of these trailers when the Riley and the other the activist are sitting like with their backs to the on that breakfast bar, they hit that guy, and instead of them pulling the mask off and it's like a normal face, it's a statue head. Like there's a trailer where it's a statue head, and you're just like,
that's right, I do remember that from the trailer.
Yeah, and you're just and then that's at when they show that in the trailer, I was like, what are we doing here? And but that's not in the movie.
Right.
So there, you're right. There's reshoots. They recut
well, that
this
could
thing.
Have been that could have been just a teaser for the
could
trailer
have been.
Or
could
something
have been.
Too.
I don't think they put that kind of effort into this.
No, no. I don't think so either. So they get back to the sorority house. The I don't like calling her the dumb one, but that's how they present her. Is like the
well, these are all caricatures, right?
Right?
You have. The dumb one, the activist.
And we call her the aloof
one. I'll call, okay, the aloof one. Very good. I like much better. Yeah,
but these are all stereotypes
yes.
of college
so
students.
So, like, she goes upstairs to look for Christmas lights. And it's not a bad jump scare. It's a pretty decent one where she's trying the lights.
Well, this is after the Diva Cup gets it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's yeah. right. That's
the,
right.
The,
that actually wasn't a bad shot.
Merry
actually,
Christmas from this Jew to you.
Yeah, I liked the way they set that shot up where it's like, the it's not set like on the level, like it looks like you're looking at it from somebody else's
it
point
like
of view.
Like a Paranormal Activity, like
it did.
You know?
But I was like, okay, it's, but all you can see is her moving from room to room, and then yeah. it's kind of Exorcist 3, Exorcist 3 esque, where she walks out of a room and the dude is right behind her.
Why did the cat have the black
I have
stuff
no
on
idea.
Him? I want to know why
I
the
have
cat.
No clue.
They introduced that she has this cat, and the Imogene Poots character is supposed to take care of the cat. And she overfeeds it, whatever, stupid, just random dialogue. And then the reason she hasn't left yet to go home to her family is because she's looking for this cat and it's meowing. And then the cat walks on the screen and has the black substance from the fraternity on its paws.
Yeah. Wait, I guess it means that there was one there?
The guy was there and picked up a cat? Like I'm just wondering.
No, I agree with you.
Because I'm like, at the end of the movie, if the cat was responsible for everything,
the cat is Calvin Coolidge.
Black Christmas 2, Cat Christmas.
Cat Christmas.
Well, but the cat's licking
Black
it.
Cat Christmas.
The cat's licking it up in the post credits scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's definitely like the fact that they had the balls to think that they had something here.
Yeah.
Was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's adorable.
Yeah. Right.
You're not telling me there's a post credit.
Yeah.
Oh, I go. I don't
I mean,
care.
But I say
oh,
post credit, but it's
I
like
don't, post credit scene.
Well, it's
like right after.
The yeah. only reason I like, know yeah. is it's in my Wikipedia.
Okay.
Summation.
Yeah, it's just the cat licking like the goo off of its paw.
Oh, so I thought you were joking.
No, I'm serious.
Okay,
that's, that
so
actually
they
happens.
Do yeah. refer back to. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I thought that was a joke. Okay.
No. yeah. So this is actually in the original version. This is how Margot Kidder dies.
Okay, the Christmas lights.
I think it's a plastic bag over her head.
Oh,
well, but they use that at one point in this movie. They
do
put
they?
A plastic bag over yeah. somebody's head.
Okay,
they
so that's kill the, a guy with the plastic
right. That's yeah. the Margot Kidder death. Is, okay. Yeah, and that's kind. I think that was actually on the poster. Like that's the picture you get with like the black and white. I mean, those posters in the 70s were dope. Like those were some good posters.
But every kill cuts before the kill because it's PG-13
yeah.
and that's
yeah.
the other downfall is you get so little horror in this movie, but when you do get horror, like an axe kill, like when you get kills that could be really cool kills,
yeah.
they're like swing
snap,
the axe
cut.
And they're like cut. And then when they go back to them, it's like their back is turned with an axe, like going out of the front. You
right.
can't see the damage,
yeah.
but they're, you know, clearly
it's weird to think that Blumhouse, who's responsible for Halloween, which is insanely gory.
Yeah.
Because it is, and it should be, but and then you get this, and this is what makes me think this is not a Blumhouse movie. I listen to a podcast called Shockwaves, and that is a Blumhouse sponsored podcast. Not one mention of this movie.
They probably are pretty popular in the horror community.
Oh, it's a yeah.
And they probably want to be taken seriously, and I think they know that if they go on and they're just like, "Hi, we're Blumhouse, and we are going to talk about Black Christmas, the best horror movie ever." I think they know they are going to lose.
They have Ryan Turek on the show, who's one of Blumhouse's now like exec producers. No talk of it.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
I think that was a very smart move for that podcast. But so we go through the kills. So, and this is where it gets to what Tom mentioned earlier, that the problem is they made this movie look like it was going to be four badass sorority sisters,
right?
And there's going to be no final girl because they're sticking it to all the men and kicking ass and all this. No,
we're already down
every,
two.
Every single sorority girl sister of the main character dies. These are just random girls from other sororities.
Yeah, they think they have this Avengers moment.
Don't they know
the
how
end.
Movies work? Like horror movies work? You kill the random girls.
Right. You kill the red shirts.
Yeah.
And then back together.
They kill everybody we're introduced to. And so the poster is randos that are introduced at the very end, basically.
The poster is our four girls.
The ones that all die?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's terrible.
Yeah, then. the poster is the aloof girl.
I hear you. I in my head thought it was because in this movie at the end, you do get the women all fighting. So I thought that they put them like, oh, these are going to be the main ones. But it's just like one sorority sister.
Is it Charlie? Was that her name? Was that the activist?
Yeah.
Name?
Chris.
Mm-hmm. Chris and Riley are the only two that make it. But they're also on the poster with the other two that die.
But so at the end, though, the ones that do live are one random sorority sister from each sorority house. And they're like, is this happening to you? Yes, it is. And so.
No. It's the others. It's just the one
well,
other
I know
sorority.
From the one other?
Yeah.
No,
all
I thought
those
they showed
women?
Two.
No, because those are the only two fraternities that boycotted. The fraternity in the very beginning boycotted that douchebag.
Sororities.
The douchebag fraternity party.
Yeah.
In that's this whole setup.
Yeah.
The sorority in the beginning boycotted that party.
Yeah.
Nobody else did except for the other girls that were involved. So the only two sororities that this is happening to are the two that sat out that refused to go to this party.
Oh, I just didn't.
I thought they stopped by another house.
No. They stopped by another house because the girl runs to in the beginning she's banging on other people's doors.
Well, in any event, Halloween all these style. Final girls are ones that we've never seen other than the friend that called in the beginning. And that's my point, is that they should have introduced all these characters as they did and made all the main characters strong and kick ass and you can't take them down. But they just fell into every other trope.
Yeah.
And Riley is, I guess Chris too, but they're like the two final. Does Chris make it? She gets injured, but she makes it.
But
those two make it. And you see the death of, what, three or four of the main sorority sisters?
All of them.
There's
they kill the aloof.
There's Diva Cup.
And then they kill the girlfriend.
And then there was another one, I thought.
No, the girlfriend gets the axe to the stomach.
There's a Christmas light one that died, right?
That's the aloof. That's the aloof girl.
Okay.
And then Diva Cup.
Oh.
And Marty, who was the girlfriend, boyfriend.
And the only reason she was there was to have a boyfriend? That's the problem, is these characters, like Tammy said, are just so vapid.
Yeah.
That they...
You don't care.
You don't
about
care.
Them, right.
You know, like in Friday, one of my favorite final girls is Amy from Friday the 13th Part 2. And she has a character development, right? Like she's a badass from the jump. Mm-hmm. She's kind of, you know, like there's... You are rooting... You get enough story with that character where you're rooting for that character. When everything goes to garbage... You're rooting for that character to survive. In this one, you're just like, you're on the poster, so I assume you're going to make it. So cool. You know, like in Halloween, you're rooting for Jamie Lee Curtis. From Jump Street, you're rooting for Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
In this one, you're just like,
I mean, I like Imogene Poots. I wish she had more to work with here because I do think that she's good. That she has a likable quality where I think her character being the main character is developed more than the others, certainly. I just think if it had a better script, we would have, you know, felt more because she's a likable actor.
They tried to be very smart, and it just like I said, when you want to do that, which is fine. I think, like I said, there should be those movies existing today because that's a story that people can get behind and people can relate to. But when you have a movie Tom, was it me? Maybe I said it. Hard Candy. Where it's like, it's it's the same movie. Like she's and she's even younger in that movie. Like Ellen Page in that movie's 15, 16 years old.
Yeah, because Hard Candy's about catching like
a child predator.
Yeah,
predator, and then you've got the trailer for Promising Young Woman that looks. I mean, that looks to me. When I saw that trailer, I had the same reaction when I saw the first trailer for Ready or Not. I was like, yeah, let's do that. But when you're putting out movies like that. It's and then you put this put that in front of this one. You're just like, woof. Like, yeah. I don't know what you were thinking.
So it comes down to it's telegraphed from the get. Obviously, we know the professor's a bad guy.
Well,
there was never any question there. But, you know, and he basically does the whole Bond villain thing where he explains the entire plot and that, you know, women are taking over and they need to be, you know, serve the men and we need to put them back in their place. And this has all been the founder's goal. And once we found the statue that you had removed, it was really a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. And so this is where we also get that twist. But we think that, what's her name? What's the main character's name?
Riley.
We think that Riley found the friend that was in the bad situation at the party at the beginning. We think that we found her tied up, but she ends up being a distraction. They knock her out and we find out that she
believes in being a subservient female.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, cool.
I was like, I know that these are actors obviously, so they're all just reading scripts, but I'm like, how disgusting do you think it felt when she had to say those words?
I don't know.
You know, that speech that she's giving.
Yeah. It's not,
if you think she had a problem, imagine how the cast of Bombshell felt.
Yeah, that's true.
But I feel like they're telling an actual story.
Yeah.
Well, they were trying
to do it.
But they were trying to make a good point here.
Yeah,
I guess
that's true.
I'm just like, ugh. I mean, didn't you guys feel... I think the creepiest moment in this is when the girl that faked out Riley was like, oh, we need to be put in our place. And I'm like, ugh.
Gross. So
well,
yeah,
that was definitely of all the cringeworthy moments, and there is a shit ton in this movie. I would say that wins the award for most cringeworthy moment. The speech was on the nose. It was a caricature, as most everything in here is, and it's like nobody thinks that way.
Yeah, even women who.
Not relatable. It's laughable.
Yeah, like even women who subscribe to a version of that is not how they would phrase it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not the prism through which they see it. Even if they do subscribe to the theory that like, oh, the man's the head of the family, blah. But they don't see it through the prism of I'm subservient.
Right.
Like that's not, even if that's what's occurring, that's not how they would describe it.
Sure.
And I mean, so, if you're brainwashed, maybe like that's
Stepford-wise,
you would have to be like, I mean, yeah. I mean, what do you think, Tammy? Let's get your insight here.
Well, I feel like this was written by a woman who was trying to write what she thought a man would write. None of it feels right. And this is the point where she gets knocked out. It's a completely different movie. They take a 180 and go, in a totally different turn.
Yeah.
None of it makes sense.
Yeah,
I didn't like any of the characters.
Yeah, they don't feel real.
Nothing, just...
Tammy, have you been following what what the conversation has been on film Twitter, and particularly how other women have viewed this movie?
No, I haven't actually, until, Friday when I was asked to see this, I didn't know much about this at all. And I haven't looked anything online.
I think we're the only people that have seen this movie.
I don't know. There is a strong contingent behind this movie who, and I did, I, Ryan, I actually did look stuff up.
Oh, who subscribed to this? They're like,
who were
this
just
movie
like,
is
who, like,
the...
this, if you don't understand this movie, that's on you.
Because it's not like any of us are against female empowerment. I mean, none of us are like agreeing. Well,
depends on the female. It's case by case. It's case by case.
But it's like none of us. I mean, we love these movies with the strong female leads, and we're all for. I mean, you know,
but
we're,
make a good one. Make
yeah,
good
right. One. But we're married, and Joe, you have daughters.
Not
and,
to each other.
No, not all. No,
I mean,
no,
this
no.
Is okay.
I gotta tell
but
you,
not.
There are times where it feels like we are.
but my point is, though...
I'm not married for anybody who's listening. Single and available.
Tammy, you want to put anything out there?
I'm not...
She's like, moving on.
I am widowed. So.
Oh, sorry.
Ha, da.
I know.
That was good. Son of a,
well, I don't think Tammy's Ryan's type anyway.
No, probably not.
I wasn't trying to create a love connection.
Oh, okay. Been,
if we're fishing for
dates. I was like, Tom,
dates,
I don't
know
how to break it to you, Tom.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to work. But yeah, I just, the main problem is that it's just the way that it's handled. It's not a good one. And so, yes, it is the time for this movement, and but it's not that we're against the overall point that this
no,
is trying to make, and that these men in this movie were terrible. But when you present every male as a caricature and every female as this token character, it really undermines the point that you're trying to say,
yeah,
because you've executed it so poorly,
yeah,
that I just feel like, and then plus with all the points like that Tom made with how they put the supernatural element in there, and then now these men weren't really bad. I mean, sure, there's some were douchey, but like they were really doing all this because of the cult and
right,
the possession. It's like, well, you just then undermined.
Yeah, they're saying that like this thing unlocks your alpha side of your brain.
Yeah,
and it's like, well. So you're just, I mean, you are taking...
How is that noise generated?
I have no idea.
So first we have the black magic goo that comes out of a statue, but then this noise kept happening.
And then you
happening.
Get the tinnitus thing.
But
yeah, right.
Who was generating that? Where did it come from? And how did they get
Tony
that?
Tony Randall.
How did they
Tony
get...
Tony Randall?
He had tinnitus. Yeah.
No, I got it.
It comes from the same place that when you're the fifth element, you're somehow a dressmaker. So that all comes from
I just would have
place.
Liked to know where... Okay, they found the statue. Okay, how did it explain to him the ringing thing? And how is it... I just... It kind of came out of nowhere,
yeah,
right?
Like, it did, yeah. It was like, oh, that's the warning
sign. Here's
a
noise, and now you have an alpha.
It's the full moon effect, where it's like, oh, full moon, somebody's turning into a werewolf.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're getting. But yeah, and then, so of course, the Riley ends up overcoming her fear and takes down her attacker, who is actually, so, and then somehow, within a matter of seconds.
Well, there's like a battle scene. This is like the end
this
of,
is a,
this is Braveheart.
It's an Avengers style, like, reveal where, like, the other sorority sisters come in.
That last Twilight movie, Avengers, Braveheart.
If,
it's like the two sides crashing.
I was waiting for Chris to say, on your left.
Yeah.
Like, it was that level.
It just came so out of nowhere. This movie didn't have any kind of, like, the action elements, or like the kills were not kick ass like you would anticipate,
right,
like for the most part, right? Like they end up taking out one of these guys by she does the key thing,
uh-huh,
which they show a
uh-huh
couple times.
Yeah, the Wolverine key thing.
Yeah. They put a bag over a guy's head, but they weren't really kick ass. But then at the end, every single sorority sister becomes a master of the martial arts.
Right, yeah.
Well, it's that,
where did that come from?
They took rad classes.
They were possessed. And it brought out their beta.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's not a thing.
But seriously, did you think that, like, oh wow, yeah, these women are all kick ass and now they can fight like that?
It's that movie thing where, like, now that I'm really mad, I'm really good at fighting.
Just it was
right,
which would
right,
make
right
you honestly really bad at fighting.
You're fighting with emotion.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
You're not thinking.
So they knock over the statue. The statue explodes into black goo.
No, they don't knock it over. Riley picks it up over her head,
right, yeah,
and says, "This is Sparta."
Also, why wasn't she covered in goo?
She was. She had black. There was stuff.
I felt like there was a weird scene.
She
like
looked
the
messy.
The bottom was nothing.
Well, because when it was all over, at first I thought, like, oh my God, is this thing going to possess her now somehow? Like, she did get it, yeah.
And then the sorority, the frat house.
Well, then Carrie Ewells is like, no. we can work this out. Or, like,
I
you know, whatever.
For him to be like, as you wish. Like, that was like, if you're going to be a complete dick of this movie, that's what you would do.
But yeah, she breaks it.
And then the house apparently engulfs in flames in about 2 minutes. The entire house.
Yeah, that was really fast.
Wait, I will say it's a very old house. Yeah. It's all wood.
Sure.
I like it's, you know.
Okay.
Sure, we'll go with that.
But now, wait a minute. Okay, so all these guys were possessed.
Yeah.
By the demon thing. They broke the statue and like broke the spell, but then they murdered all those guys.
Yeah. Except for the one boy.
Except for Landon.
Well, yeah. Right. Landon wasn't part of the portrayal. We haven't even mentioned, but there's red herring guy that might be like playing nice, but he's really a creep. But really, he's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
She thinks, oh, maybe he's a creep and all that. But yeah, he's not a part of all that. He gets out, but they killed all the guys that you've just explained were possessed. Like, yeah, they were frat guys, but like they were only killing people because of the
yeah
possession.
But they were they were still pretty rapey.
The one we only saw,
but the fraternity closed ranks around him and supported him and still still welcomed him back.
But
with
so
open
we're
arms.
Supposed to say girl power kill them all in a fire.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, this movie, you know, is supposed to be lit.
Yeah,
I mean,
literally
I'm not
and figured.
Obviously, yeah, right. I'm not siding with the douches. They were all douches and all that. But I just mean the way they presented it. Were like, I mean, Riley watches the place. But the like one of the final scenes is her watching.
But that is part of the problem with what they do with the statue is that is now you've muddied the water as to like were these bad guys or were they possessed? Like
right.
we don't know exactly. We don't know except for the one guy.
Yeah.
That assaulted the main character. Like, we don't know what the rest of the guys were like before the statue.
Correct.
So
maybe they were rapey, and this just made them more rapey.
My gut says they probably were because they had this other guy, and they didn't do anything about him. He's still a prestigious alumnus who's allowed to come back,
right.
And they're excited to see him.
Okay, I would like to know, Tammy, as a woman, how did you feel about her burning down the sorority, the whole fraternity house full of the possessed guys?
Well, they're not possessed anymore.
I know.
Yeah, that's where I'm saying none of it makes sense. And there's the little part where they had to get trinkets from each one of the girls, you know, so the guys knew which ones to go after.
Yeah, come on.
Like they were bloodhounds. I don't know. Like,
yeah, why
they had to sniff it? I don't know what they had to do to then know what girls they had to go in.
I don't think I want to sniff anybody's diva cup.
But
what about the vibrator?
And that was on the on there.
But
maybe
you're right though, Tammy. That's that whole like. You know, they do this in the cult. It's like a voodoo doll type thing.
Yeah,
you know, and
basically.
And the occult movies, they usually have like, you need a personal thing to have this connection.
What's more personal than a diva cup and a vibrator?
But, I couldn't tell you.
But they do all that, and then it's like what Joe said, there were two sorority houses that were clearly protesting this fraternity. Why did you have to go get their objects? Like, they know exactly who...
I thought it was so, like, the magic would work.
That's what I thought, too.
Like, it wasn't for the guys.
It was for the magic to do the magic thing.
Although the magic really only worked on the guys.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. It's because this is a terrible.
This movie, like I said, this movie is a train wreck.
I was okay when the house burned down, because at this point I was like,
burn it down.
The more people in this movie that die, the better.
Yeah.
But the most realistic part in this movie was when when Chris turns to Riley and Riley's like, let's go to the police. And she's like, let's go fight them or whatever. Maybe Riley says it to Chris and she's like, wait a minute. You want to go to the police and tell them that a bunch of magic possessed a fraternity and started killing them all? It's like, we've got dead bodies. We just murdered these guys.
We just killed these guys.
So to that same point, explain the DNA evidence that shows that they were at that house and murdered them all.
Burn it down.
And then their excuse is, that they were all possessed, so we killed them. Yeah. Like, you literally just said that you couldn't do that.
Right.
And now you've just murdered them
all.
Well,
I guess maybe the movie's thinking that, like, we don't know what started the fire, and it's destroying the evidence.
Oh, so they're going to say we didn't start the fire?
Right.
It was always burning.
That needs to be the outro of this episode. But yeah, this is, it's a shame. Like, this is a complete, Tammy, do you have something? I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was just, it didn't do anything for them, you know, Me Too or any kind. It was almost like a parody of it. To me, it felt like they were making fun of it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Putting it in a good light.
But this was all women director and written by women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? I just don't.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, and
I mean, I'm just basing that on the names. Sophia.
Yeah.
April.
This just doesn't this seem like a movie that men would write because they think they're trying to make a Me Too movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it does. Right? It feels like tone deaf men.
Tammy, I think you made that point earlier where I think you said that it seemed like they wrote how they thought a man would write this movie. And I never really thought about that before until you mentioned it. And I think that's really a brilliant point because that is precisely how it feels.
But it's like, if you're trying, I get trying to write male characters in a certain way, or if you are trying to parody or make a satire, I get writing certain characters a certain way. But if you're trying to make a valid point,
yeah,
and you write a movie that ends up feeling like a parody,
right,
I don't think you've gotten your point across
very well. You've done more harm to your point. So yeah, this is a mess. It's a complete, this might be one of the worst things I've seen in the last couple of years. Like, this is real bad.
Yeah.
Real bad.
Well, here's how it could have worked. It could have worked this way, where if you wanted to get creative with the iconic Black Christmas property, but still have a positive, affirming, empowering message for women, I think it could have worked and that you had a female slasher. And so in a Jason or Freddy or Michael kind of fashion, ghost face, you have a female slasher. And instead of setting it in a sorority house, I guess this is kind of in the frat house, but your main setting is the frat house. Mm-hmm. And so this slasher goes around picking off all these frat guys who mistreat their girlfriends or hookups or tricks for the night or whatever. And so they're mistreating them. And so then they get picked off just like, you know, Jason or Michael or Freddy, Ghostface, you know, how they would operate. And so you flip it that way. And I think then you still get that same, you know, that same message, like the frat rape culture is bad. It is reprehensible, but it would have still been a slasher and would have been far more clever and would have ultimately achieved what these writers were all given benefit of the doubt, what they were trying to achieve. And I think something like that, you know, would have worked a lot better.
Yeah, and the bad guy would have been killing them, not your main character.
Right.
See, that's
right.
It's the douchey guys dying isn't the problem. I mean, if you present them as being super douches and they get theirs, it is a movie. We know you're not trying to literally say go kill these guys because they're douches.
Right.
You know, like alone, like that's not enough to warrant murdering them. But if the killer is killing douches,
right,
then you're like, well, okay, they got what they deserved and it is a killer. It's a bad guy
like
killing
Dexter.
Them. Yeah.
It is exactly like
but
Dexter.
But when you make your main character kill people and then you're like, oh, well, she was abused so she can murder 20 guys. Like, you know what I mean? That's
right.
That's what doesn't sit right is how do you relate to a character murdering people
totally.
when they're a good guy, right? That's the weird thing about
it. You relate to the Punisher.
But I guess
he's killing bad guys.
Yeah, I'm saying these are people that may be douches, but you can't justify murdering them.
Yeah.
But so I like Ryan's idea. I wish they would have done that. That sounds great. And then you could have still made it a slasher movie where this just, I don't even know what it is. You know what I mean? There's not any of those elements. The kills aren't good. You can't see anything. There's no gore.
Right.
All the blood is really not there. You
the
just
only
see
blood you get is on the girlfriend when she gets hit in the chest with a
and the
axe.
Diva cup.
The Diva Cup, yeah, sorry.
But it's like, but then they use the excuse of the black blood because it's not really blood, it's the
right.
the magic stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This is terrible.
There's no redeeming factor.
This actually might be the worst Blumhouse movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, this had, what was that Olivia Wilde, wasn't Olivia
That's
Wilde?
Not even the, I mean, I will watch Lazarus Effect.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
a million times before I ever watch this again.
What is this getting on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, it's pretty bad. Last time I saw it was like around 40%.
Wow, that's high.
What, that good?
Yeah, that was on Friday morning, so it could have
43%.
Yeah,
that's still disturbingly high.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's look at what the average is. You know, with Rotten Tomatoes, you have to look at the average.
Pass fail. Yeah,
it's 4.66 is the average.
That's much better.
So that means So a 4 out of 10, and that means that you know the people that did pass it were probably like a 6. You know,
right?
Like,
they were just like, it's okay,
I think 59% or higher is fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
So that means that if they give it a 60, it gets a positive, but a movie that's a 60, you wouldn't call a good movie.
Right.
So,
no, totally.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there
yeah.
it is.
Well, I guess that's it for this one. I guess, Ryan, where can people find you if they would like to?
Sure. People can find me. My address and phone number is, or you can find me on Twitter at RLTerry1. You can also follow my blog at RLTerryRealview.com. And I'd love to interact with you, connect with me.
Awesome. And Tammy, where would you like to be found if you'd like to be found?
Yeah, no.
She's like, I've seen what the other people who listen to the show are like.
No,
thank you.
No,
I
thank
don't
you.
Blame you.
Yeah, neither do I.
And I guess then we will go around the table and say where to find us.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
Can we abstain too?
Too late.
Oh, follow me on Twitter at my Twitter address.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, find us wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And of course, Patreon at patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Jumanji.
Yeah.
So until then, Max gets thrown into hell.
of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.